So you heard the story earlier this week. The investigation into a Minnesota-based terrorism operation widened when federal authorities released criminal charges against 8 men connected to the operation. The group say prosecutors recruited young men to leave the United States and fight with terrorists for a group called Al-Shabaab in Somalia. Here is U.S. District Attorney Todd Jones speaking at the news conference yesterday.
A message that they should hear loud and clear is that we will seek you out and prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law.
Now, that message was certainly a national story this week, but it also resonated in the community of Minneapolis, where the Somali Americans are certainly the target of this investigation and have their own issues to deal with. Two voices now on this story. Reporter Tim Nelson is with us. He's been covering the case for Minnesota Public Radio. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And we also have Mohammed Hassan, who's vice chair of Somali Cause, which is an umbrella organization for 9 grassroots groups in North America. And he actually knows some of the men who were indicted on Monday. Mohammed Hassan, good morning.
Morning to you, Tim.
Tim Nelson, first of all, how has this story been received in the Twin Cities area? And what is the sort of relationship like between the Somali American community and other residents of the Twin Cities?
Well, let me start with your first question,
sure.
How this has been received. This is part of a year-long ongoing investigation that the Twin Cities news media has been tracking pretty carefully. This started, really came to light about a year ago when 3 young men disappeared and the Somali community really began to speak out loudly about their concerns about where they went. Since then, we've learned a lot about these young men that have left. We think there are about 20 of them. Probably 6 of them, most of them Somali immigrants, have been rumored to have been killed. But again, because there's no strong central government in Somalia, no real authority to issue death certificates, it's really unclear the fate of these young men. A lot of these names that came out this week, we've known for a long time. We've been reporting about them.
Right.
Some of them Minnesota Public Radio has actually talked to in Somalia. So this didn't come as a surprise. A lot of these folks we've been watching for some time. I think, though, that people feel like the federal authorities finally spoke out, finally had something to say about this, and we may be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel in this investigation. To your second question about the relationship between the Somali community and the rest of the Twin Cities. The last census said that there were about 35,000 Somali immigrants in the Twin Cities. There are probably many more than that now.
Right.
The Twin Cities has a history of bringing immigrant groups in, the Hmong, from that
Southeast
date back
Asia.
From
yep.
the from the fighting the communists in Laos. They came in the 1970s and 80s and have been gradually assimilated into the culture here. A lot of the Somali immigrants began to come here after the overthrow of the government in 1990. It's estimated about 20,000 of them came about 10 years ago. They're a little different than other immigrants. They have some wider cultural differences, some religious differences, and it's been a difficult transition for them. They remain more isolated than other immigrant groups. And this isn't helping.
I can imagine.
The FBI agent in charge on Monday noted that, you know, there are now documented Americans with American passports training with Al-Shabaab, a terrorist organization in Somalia.
Well, that says it. Tim Nelson is a reporter with Minnesota Public Radio. Just hold on there for a second. Let's get a response from Mohammed Hassan, who's the vice chair of an umbrella organization for grassroots groups in North America representing Somali Americans. Mohammed Hassan, how does your community deal with, first, a story that's a tragedy because of the men who died, but also that might represent a threat to others who are neighbors in a community like the Twin Cities?
Well, speaking to the press conference that was held by FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, was received as though it was just showing that we were getting to some kind of end to this. It has been a very long investigation, as noted by Tim, and has taken really toll on the community, literally has put the community in siege. Thinking what is going to be the next step for the FBI, who is going to be arrested. And, of course, the community is not that huge of a number. You kind of notice your neighbors, whom originally by originally from Somalia, and so we kind of know each other, either growing together in the same neighborhood or played soccer together, or went in the same high school or college.
Well, that's, I mean, so it's a tight-knit community. How do you deliver the message that this kind of behavior is threatening to all Somali Americans and discourage young people from doing these sorts of things?
There are a couple of public radios and televisions that Somalians do use to disseminate information to other Somali community members who speak only Somali. Also, individuals do read the news in English and listen to radios and television. But to communicate to authorities is the challenge. And
right.
It is because of the culture, I would think, and also the language barrier.
And
people are not willing to talk to authority. And also, given the fact that Somalians, the recent immigrated Somalians, have dealt in the past with authoritative authorities and somewhat has experienced corrupt police officers and so on and so forth.
And they bring those memories of bad experiences in Somalia straight into the United States for good reason. Mohammed Hassan is vice chair of Somali Cause, an umbrella organization for 9 grassroots groups representing Somali Americans in North America. And Tim Nelson describing the difficulty of this story and how long it's been developing in the Twin Cities. He's a reporter with Minnesota Public Radio. Thanks to you both, Tim and Mohammed.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.